The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the show. As you know, I am a runner. I run. Yes, I run for miles. As you also know, I believe that unborn human beings are human beings. That's why they're called unborn human beings. So it was kind of funny when a couple times I've crossed paths with a guy named Dr. Pat Castle. He is the founder of Life Runners, the world's largest pro-life team with over 19,000 teammates who wear Remember the Unborn jerseys as a public witness in over 3,200 cities. Holy guacamole. Wouldn't it be great if I could get Dr. Pat Castle on the show? Alvin, you think we could ever get him? Wait a minute. You're not Alvin. You're Dr. Pat Castle. This is like an apparition. What is that? Is this really you? Are you bilocational? Are you like in two places at once? Or is this really you, Dr. Pat Castle? Where are you?
Yeah, this is me. I'm in that great Irish town of Omaha today.
Omaha.
I'm in Omaha.
Yes, that was named after the priest from Cork County, Ireland, Father Omaha. See you, Pat Castle. Last time I saw you was the night before the March for Life. Tim Tebow spoke at that dinner, and you and I reconnected, and I said, I got to get you on the program.
Yes, sir.
Told me about something that's happening June 1st, so I said, let's get you on the program ahead of June 1st. So first of all, say a little bit about the organization, and then say a little bit about June 1st.
You bet. So the organization, it's simple and powerful. I mean, we are a pro-life messaging ministry. And as you mentioned, we wear these bold blue, royal blue shirts that have a big cross on the front and a Holy Spirit dove. In Jeremiah 1:5, that God knew us even before we were in our mother's wombs. And on the back, there's a big Remember the Unborn message. And people see this message.
Now, you were just holding it up for the cameras. And I want to remind people, if you're listening on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, you're missing the visual aspect. That's the downside of radio. And so we want you to know that all of this stuff is on Rumble. If you go to ericmetaxas.com, you can sign up to see these things because some of the visuals are fantastic. Those T-shirts are beautiful. I love your bravery in doing this. And I mean, you must get some people kind of looking sideways at you, like, what? Who are you?
Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of people, when they first become Life Runners, you know, and anyone listening can go to liferunners.org, hit the join button, you'll get a monthly update of what's going on with Life Runners around the world. And you order a shirt or a jacket that says, Remember the Unborn. But that is a notion that people think that, wow, I'm about to walk outside of my home with a shirt that says, Remember the Unborn in the culture of death. And, you know, am I going to get spit wads or tomatoes or middle fingers when I'm walking around the block? The answer is no. I mean, it's incredible. The message is very compassionate. Compassion means to suffer with. And even the other side, even the mean people, even the people that, you know, aren't in God's will, they have a hard time, you know, pushing against such a compassionate message. So unless we're standing in front of an abortion facility where you get lots of, hey, you're number one, middle fingers, usually, like 99% usually, Eric, when you're wearing such a shirt or a jacket that says, Remember the Unborn, in a grocery store line or walking around the block or at school. You know, a third of the life runners, about 20,000 life runners in 3,200 cities, and 6,500 of them are students, age 22 on down, that wear it at school. And people's response to these shirts are either indifferent, like they just don't want to remember the unborn, as we know in our culture, or they do exactly what it says. They remember the unborn and they engage that person in conversation. Or most of the time, they're just encouraged. They're encouraged that, wow, somebody would put on a shirt today that says, remember the unborn at such a time as this, to speak up, you know, to shout it from the mountaintops. So it really motivates us to put these shirts on and jackets. And I hope that everyone really ponders what I'm about to say. 78% of post-abortion mothers said that if just one person had encouraged them to choose life, or they saw one encouraging sign to choose life, they would not have aborted their child.
Okay, now the I know that one. Statistic because yes. My wife, Suzanne, ran the pregnancy center here in New York City.
She gave me a tour.
For 12 years. I forgot about that. And I've heard that statistic that women are looking for a sign. Will yes. somebody help them to choose the right thing? And I mean, I've heard all this kind of stuff, and people need to know women are hungry for a sign, for truth, for a message. Yeah. And when you wear a shirt, which obviously you can get them at liferunners.org, but it might be all somebody needs, because it does become almost mystical for people. These women are just, they're lost. They're saying, is yes. there a God? God, will you give me a sign? What do I do? They don't know that they should choose life. And so they're actually saying, give me a sign.
That's
and
it.
If they case see a shirt yeah. from liferunners.org, they may choose. I mean, it's crazy, but that's true.
Case in point. Just to drive home how you perfectly described many of the testimonies that have been delivered to me after giving a presentation on the power of encouraging messaging. So this came top of mind. A lady came up to me in Lansing, Michigan, after I presented on a topic of meeting St. Padre Pio. And I meant just what I said.
I want to ask you about that very soon.
We'll talk about it.
I don't want to.
And so I was there presenting on St. Padre Pio, the healer, you know, and of course we need healing with one in four American women in their childbearing ages having had an abortion, and all the wounds and the ripples from that. Imagine the huge healing ministry out there. And St. Padre Pio, wow, what a healer he was in his ministry. He built a hospital called A Place of the Relief of Suffering. Yeah, we need places like that right now for the relief of suffering in the world from abortion. But this lady walks up to me after this presentation on St. Padre Pio, and I had shared that stat about, you know, ladies are just looking for just the smallest amount of impartation of courage, known as encouragement, the power of it. She said, let me tell you a story. She was in her early 20s sitting in the Hard Rock Cafe in Los Angeles, and she was in a crisis pregnancy. She bowed her head and she's like, Lord, all I need is a sign, something to encourage me that it's going to be okay, that I can do this. And she looked up and the sun was coming through the window of the Hard Rock Cafe in Los Angeles, and it hit this mural on the wall. And the mural had the words, birth of rock and roll. And the sun, she said, perfectly just hit the word birth. And she looked up, she said, she smiled and went, that's all I needed. I just need a nudge. And then she told me about her 34-year-old son that she couldn't imagine life without. And so praise God, that's all it takes. So listeners, my goodness, we got to get high-fiving for life. We got to get encouraging for life. We got to get, hey, of course you can do it, and I'm going to help for life. Neighbors, family members, my goodness, we got to speak up and talk about it. If that's all it's going to take to save a life, who wouldn't do that to encourage their neighbor, their family member, their friend, their coworker?
I just love this. I hope people will go to liferunners.org. Folks, go to liferunners.org.
You and get a shirt. Pat's
heart and his mind. Get a shirt or a jacket, liferunners.org.
Wear it.
Remember the unborn and wear it. this is so beautiful. I'm going to go to the website after this, because I feel like we need to be bolder. And that's one of the things that I love about you, Pat, and about Life Runners. You're bold. We need to be bolder. People are looking for hope. There are many people who are lost. Let's be honest. They are lost. For a woman to be in the Hard Rock Cafe and to be asking God for a sign, she's lost. She just has just enough faith to say, I'm open, God, if you're there, give me a sign. And we want to say, well, she should already know. Well, God reaches down and speaks to her. We're going to be right back talking to Dr. Pat Castle with liferunners.org. Don't go away.
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my...
Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Hey, folks, if you could make money off of abortion or pornography, would you do it? I hope the answer is no. But I want to tell you, Robert Netsley, the founder of InspireInsight.com, he was the president of his local pro-life pregnancy center when he discovered that he owned investments in three companies manufacturing abortion drugs. Well, God helped him to see that he was making money from abortion, pornography, LGBT activism, and the list goes on. And that's why he created InspireInsight.com. InspireInsight.com gives you instant access to biblical values data on over 23,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs so you can invest to the glory of God. You need to go to InspireInsight.com today and screen your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts. I did, and I was shocked. Now I'm able to clean out the junk and invest in companies actually doing good things. Go to InspireInsight.com today and register for free. That's InspireInsight.com. Go there.
If you leave now, folks, welcome back. Have you heard of Life Runners? Yes, you have. If you're listening to the program, I'm talking to the founder of Life Runners. You can go to liferunners.org. The founder is Pat Castle. Now, Pat, I got a note here that tells me you're not just the founder of Life Runners. You graduated from the Air Force Academy and you went on to get a PhD in nano analytical chemistry.
Yes.
And if I had a dime for everybody who claimed to have a PhD in nano analytical chemistry, I would have one dime right now. No, it's just kind of funny because you're obviously a brainy guy and you were involved militarily. I mean, just reading this, you did 10 military assignments, including the weapons of mass destruction defense officer at the base closest to Osama bin Laden on September 11th. You were an Air Force Academy chemistry professor. I mean, you've been doing all kinds of stuff. You have raced 22 marathons. You love Jesus. And
Amen.
You are, I mean, the most impressive thing is that you got a 2:53 in the Marine Corps marathon. Hats off to you, my friend. That's awesome to run a sub 3-hour marathon. I've never run a marathon, but I just want to say I plan to. But let me ask you just a few things. Were you raised in the faith, or did something happen along the way that suddenly made you get serious about God?
Raised in the faith. I remember in third grade when a sleepover, Bob O'Connor said, "Pat, do you really think God is real?" I remember thinking, what a silly question. Look around. Of course God's real. And as you blend what you just shared, you know, my PhD in nano analytical chemistry, people would think like, wow, you know, that must have been tough keeping the faith. Not at all. My entire journey of science has been, wow, Look what God did. Wow, that is so cool.
I want to tell you, I don't know if you know, I wrote a book called Is Atheism Dead, which has a lot of information, apologetics from science. It is jaw-dropping, jaw-dropping stuff. And I'm reading a book right now, a new book by Michael Denton of the Discovery Institute. He is talking about fine-tuning on a level I have never comprehended. I've never seen anything like it. He's written a number of books for the Discovery Institute, and I quote him a lot in my book, Is Atheism Dead? The more you look at everything from a scientific viewpoint, the more it's almost frightening, the level of what God has done.
God's fingerprints.
It's almost paralyzing. Like you think this can't be this amazing. It's just insane.
Well, it's so apparent. It's so apparent. Like it's not hard. It's very complimentary. So praise God for what he's
done. I love it. I mean, I could talk to you about that all day, but I want to talk to you about Life Runners. Again, folks, liferunners.org. I love this, that you got t-shirts there and stuff. And I'm a runner who believes in life. I said that earlier. And so I think I need one of these t-shirts, don't you think? Okay. So
absolutely.
Here's my question. You have this thing happening June 1st. Did we cover that exactly?
Yeah. So this is what's going on. So folks that listened to the first segment, they heard why, you know, why wear a shirt that says, remember the unborn, or a jacket? Why do it? And maybe the best news for some listeners, running's optional. So we've got 10,000 runners and 10,000 non-runners. And I like to say that the walkers in a lot of respects are better life runners because you can read their shirt easier. Remember the unborn when they're walking. And then you got guys like Alan Webb, who's a life runner. If you recognize that name, he's the American record holder in the mile. He did the mile in 3:46. He's a jersey wearing life runner. And then you got people like Archbishop Nauman and Cardinal Dolan that are jersey wearing life runners, black jacket wearing life runners. So the priests and the deacons, the pastors listening in, we send free black Remember the Unborn jackets for the clergy. We just sent 18 of them to a group of sisters in Worcester, Massachusetts for their community.
In Worcester.
So, okay. You know, it's an all hands on deck. I mean, you heard
if people go to liferunners.org, they'll find out about the June 1st thing. What's happening July 4th to August 7th? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. That's exciting. So the June 1st thing first, that's just the next first Wednesday of the month. So Eric, tell me how cool this is. Those 20,000 life runners around the world in 3,200 cities, we all once a month in concert orchestrated, we all put on our shirts or jackets on the first Wednesday of every month, including those 6,500 students that wear them at their schools, public and private schools. Some private schools, every kid, every staff member in the school wears their jersey. And some people might think like, well, that's just singing to the choir. You know, everyone's just showing up together. Uh-uh. Those kids, those staff members, us, the adults, we are coming from somewhere and we're going somewhere each day in those shirts. So whether those kids are going to soccer practice or baseball practice.
But you have something, you have an Across America Relay,
America Relay.
Life.
And then
and is that starting in New York City?
That's starting in New York City. So we have the once every month, first Wednesday. So those that join Life Runners, you'll get notifications, put your shirt or jacket on. And then that big event, Eric, is it kicks off. It started in 2013, and you recognize the guy that co-founded it with me. His name is Jeff Grabowski. You interviewed him because he's the guy that ran across America unassisted with a baby stroller for prayer and pro-life.
Yes.
That guy was on your show.
Yes, I did interview him.
Jeff Grabowski.
But wait, so you're starting from New York City on July 4th?
On July 4th. So imagine now. This is called the Across America Relay, the largest spanning pro-life event in the world.
But you know, I live in New York City.
Yeah, and we can't wait to see it on the Brooklyn Bridge. So at 8:30 a.m. 8:30 a.m. July 4th. It's unbelievable.
Do I get to run a leg of this thing?
Absolutely.
What do I need? How long is a leg?
5K segments. There's 5K.
That's
exactly.
I can sprint that. I can sprint that.
Yes.
I can't believe this. We've got to figure this out because I want to be a part of this. I can't believe it's starting in New York City.
Yep.
I want to get some publicity for this. We got to figure this out.
So yes, the course, Eric, it kicks off on the Brooklyn Bridge at 8:30 a.m. on July 4th. It kicks off on the Golden Gate Bridge at 7:30 a.m. on July 4th. It kicks off in Grand Forks, North Dakota at St. Michael the Archangel Church on July 4th. And it kicks off at the San Antonio Cathedral, the San Fernando Cathedral on July 4th. So imagine these four points. They converge in the middle of our country in Kansas City. They make a cross. It's the Across America Relay. North, south, east, and west. 40 days of 5K segments. 5,359 miles. And everybody's wearing what? They're wearing their witness for the least of our brothers and sisters. They're wearing their Remember the Unborn shirts and jackets.
And where does everybody converge?
In Kansas City. So those four arms on August the 7th, they converge in Kansas City.
This is nuts. There's so much stuff I want to talk to you about. We've got to figure out if I can be a part of this on the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm so thrilled that you're starting it and we've got to cover that. But you say in your thing here, we're going to lose some people here. And I love it. You're in the film Unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I want to talk about Padre Pio.
Okay.
There are people listening. They've never heard of Padre Pio.
Padre Pio.
Padre Pio was an unbelievable man of God, devoted to Jesus. Very, very rare figure.
Yes.
What do you mean you encountered him? You had a vision of him and you saw an apparition. This is like kind of amazing. And I think a lot of people are just going to say, I don't get that. It sounds demonic. Right. I don't believe you. What is it?
So first, let's go and categorize his rareness. He's the only priest to ever have the stigmata, the wounds of Christ on his body.
We've only got a minute. I'm sorry,
okay.
Pat.
That's okay. So to get people excited about being a Life Runner, yeah. Life Runners began with an encounter with a mystical priest, a healing priest, who's known for bilocation. He had the stigmata on his body. And yes, he encouraged me. The last 10 minutes spoke to me. The last 10 minutes. Why? By way of intercessory prayer for my mother, because she knew that I was in trouble at the top of a mountain. And you can see that story on liferunners.org/creed. Let's be sure to save a few seconds for the cheer at the end. About 10, 15 seconds. We're going to cheer people at the end.
We've only got 25 seconds.
Let's cheer people forward to be Life Runners. Remember, running's optional. We got ages 0.1 to 101. The cheer for Life Runners is that we're all in Christ for pro-life. I'm going to give it all in Christ, and everybody listening, give a loud, thunderous for pro-life. Here we go. All in Christ.
For pro-life.
All in Christ.
For pro-life.
All in Christ.
For pro-life.
Awesome.
I love this. Listen, we got to get you back. We're going to talk about July 4th. Folks, liferunners.org. If you're not excited, you're not paying attention. Thank you, Pat Castle. Fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
Someone called us Babylon. Those hungry hunters tracking down the hours.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Robert J. Morgan, brand new book, The 50 Final Events in World History, which is an exegesis of the book of Revelation. Boy, do we need somebody to explain it to us. So thank you for writing the book. You somewhat cheekily titled the book The 50 Final Events in World History. It's true, because we think, you know, events in history, what could they be? But the Bible tells us. And I think there are a lot of people who shrink from believing Revelation. It's too much. It's overwhelming to think that this is going to happen. So talk about that.
Well, the more that we read Revelation and the more that we read the headlines, the more they're merging together. The things that we read in Revelation, I'm just astonished at how plausible they are right now. Do you know, Eric, that all it will take is one man pushing a button or another man somewhere breaking a test tube, and the entire human race could be annihilated? This is the first time in history that these kind of global cataclysms are possible. And the book of Revelation, when you read it, it talks about things that are happening today. If you Google the end of the earth, you'll not get preachers. You'll get scientists and you'll get experts talking about the possibility that that global events can occur. And these are described in advance in the book of Revelation, whether it's the contamination of the water, the contamination of the air, solar flares and strange things happening with the sun, the supervolcanoes, and pandemics and wars, all of these things. And so for the first time really in history, you know, Israel came into existence in 1948, and Israel plays a prominent role in the events of the book of Revelation, and the global catastrophic events that we can see on the horizon are all embedded in this book. We can see it unfolding.
And we have to be clear, this is true. In other words, if we were talking 100 years ago, it was not possible for human beings to wipe mm-hmm. out life on planet Earth. Today, yeah. it absolutely is possible to wipe out life on planet Earth. There's just no way around it. We have the technology. It's not like we have the possibility of the tech. We have the technology, mm-hmm. And we have a global environment that did not exist before. And, I mean, Scripture says, too, in the last days, you know, knowledge will flow to – will be increased. And you think, well – there is little question that that is happening. I mean, we have an infinity of information traveling, and we have connectability. And so it is at least interesting that we are in the times when these things can happen. They could not have happened realistically much before now.
And the book of Revelation predicts that there will be a leader who will gain control of the globe. It's not going to happen easily or quickly. But we are living in a time now when you don't have to be a conspiracist to realize that there are forces out there trying to move the world towards globalism and towards a one-world government. And so the book of Revelation is very relevant for us today. It helps us to understand the events that we are seeing, but it also fills us with hope. This is the most hopeful book in the Bible. Everything is leading towards the return of Christ. And Eric, I believe the simplest way, I think I can demonstrate this, the simplest way of understanding the book of Revelation is to take the various events sequentially, one after another. And if you do that, it's not that difficult to understand this book.
Well, so let's go through some of them in the time that we have. What are the things that we can talk about? What are some of the events that we can talk about?
Well, in Revelation 4 and 5, we see a great celebration in heaven. And there is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus receives a scroll, and it has seven wax seals. And when he begins snapping that seal, that is the beginning of what we call the tribulation, the seven-year period. And there are six and seven different events that occur. One is the emergence of a powerful military leader who goes out trying to solve big problems and to conquer the world. In the light of that, there is warfare. In the light of that, there is famine. In the light of that, there is death. But also, interesting, during this time, millions of people are going to come to the Lord Jesus. Many of them will be martyred. And we call these the seven seals. And it's seven great events that will take place. And that's followed by seven trumpets. And as these trumpets blow, then events take place, catastrophic events that are very reminiscent of the plagues of Egypt.
Yeah.
In fact, if you want to know what the tribulation period will look like, just go back and study Moses and the plagues of Egypt. It's a miniature version. And so these things unfold sequentially as you go through the book, one event after the other.
It is undeniably chilling. As my wife and I were reading it, we just had to stop and say, wow, wow, wow. I mean, it's heavy, heavy stuff. And if your eyes aren't on Jesus, your heart would fail. You would say, I don't know. I don't want to be around. But we know that if our eyes are on him, we will be hope for those around us. And so in a funny way, too, I think that when things like this happen, it really reveals things as they are. We all know we're going to die. We know we're not going to be here forever. So the only question is, how do we leave? When do we leave? And if we know who Jesus is, we don't fear leaving this planet. We don't fear dying. And you think, well, the greatest thing to do would be to die as a martyr. What a glorious honor. I know I'm not worthy of that honor. But we're talking to Robert Morgan. The book is The 50 Final Events in World History, robertjmorgan.com. We'll be right back.
Towards the things you've left so very far behind.
Hey there, folks. Eric Metaxas here. As you know, our friend, and he's a real friend, Mike Lindell, has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. But he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. My Slippers, they're unbelievable. I know all about them. But I got to tell you, for a limited time, you will save $90 on each pair of My Slippers. They're expensive. You can save $90. This blowout sale of the year won't last. Order now. He's taken over 2 years to develop them. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and out all day long, made with My Pillow Foam and Impact Gel to help prevent fatigue, made with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listeners square and use promo code ERIC. The offer will not last long, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-3057. 800-978-3057. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Robert J. Morgan, robertjmorgan.com. The brand new book is The 50 Final Events in World History, The Bible's Last Words on Earth's Final Days. So we were just saying, Robert, that, you know, on the one hand, this is chilling, but on the other hand, it's profoundly hopeful. So talk about that.
Well, it's very good to know beforehand what's going to happen. And so when you open the book of Revelation, you have that chapter one as introduction, chapter two and three, the messages to the seven churches, chapter four and five is a celebration in heaven because evil is about to be dealt with. And then you have these seven seals that are opened and catastrophic things happen on earth, not because God is not a good God, but because it is time for evil to be judged, the kind of evil that we see with Vladimir Putin. He's a little miniature portrait of a coming Antichrist. What he is doing in Ukraine is a miniature portrait of what's going to happen all over the world through these dictators that are evil. And God's going to deal with that. And these seven seals and then the seven trumpet judgments deal with evil. And during all of that time, Israel is going to be thriving. But then when you come to Revelation 12 and 13, you come to the middle of the tribulation when things shift. And Daniel and Jesus and Paul all talk about when this powerful coming leader goes to Jerusalem and places his image in the temple, and the Jewish state will refuse to bow down to him. That will begin the last half of the tribulation.
Now,
3.5 years.
That is, talk about chilling. the idea, I mean, first of all, we've been so blessed in our lives. We none of us has had to deal with Hitler or, I mean, there have been satanic leaders in the recent past, and millions have had to deal with that. And so when you see that level of evil, you long for heaven. You long for Jesus's return. Mm-hmm. When everything is going pretty great, you go, well, you know, let it ride. Everything's fine. I don't want to. But these things have happened in history. And the only question is, are you looking to Jesus in the middle of it or not? That's really the question.
Yes.
So, but what you just mentioned, the idea that this leader will put the abomination of desolation in the temple. So this presupposes that there will be a Jewish temple. Now, clearly, mm-hmm. we don't have a Jewish temple. So we know this isn't happening anytime particularly soon, if I'm reading it right.
That's true. But there are forces within Israel preparing for that third temple. You know, there are, they've already got all of the elements made for it. They've got the candelabra. They've got the all of the furnishings.
I have heard about this. I've heard people breeding red heifers. We're not going to get into that. But the point is, I've heard about this. The question is, what would it take? And again, this gets into crazy stuff. What would it take? I mean, the Temple Mount is currently the abode of this, the temple of
the Dome of the Rock,
the Dome of the Rock,
and the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
That's what's there now. So you cannot imagine Jews building a temple. So I kind of can't help but wonder what in the world will be coming.
And I don't know, but something is going to happen.
Yeah.
And when you think that Iran is probably going to have, if not already, a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
When you think of all of the enemies that Israel has, now there's wonderful with the Abraham Accords, there's wonderful alliances being made, but that's a very volatile region.
Yeah.
But something is going to happen that will allow the Jewish people to rebuild that temple, either on the Temple Mount or in some way. I can't predict exactly how it's going to be, but Daniel and Jesus and Paul and John all say there is coming a day when this great ruler will establish his image in the Jewish temple. So I'm not surprised that Israel is back in the land after 2,000 years of non-existence.
Oh, we didn't mention that. What do you need for these things to happen? Well, you need Israel back in the land. That happened.
Yes.
And until 1948, it had never happened for 2,000 years. Here we are. The stage is clearly being set.
Absolutely. And then in 67, they got control of Jerusalem. And so something is going to happen that will rebuild, that will allow some sort of rebuilding of that temple, because it is repeated 10 times in the Bible that the abomination of desolation will be set there, and that will trigger the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years when the armies of the world come against Israel to try to destroy the Jewish state to prevent the return of Christ.
Now, what do you make of people who say that when Antiochus Epiphanes did something like this, that that's what John is writing about in the latter part of the first century? You're saying maybe that's a prefigurement, but that he's nonetheless writing about something in the future as well?
He is the biblical type of Antichrist. You know, John is the one in his first and second epistle that used the word Antichrist. And he said the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. I mean, John has a remarkable verse. Just, I can't get over this verse in chapter 4 of 1 John, that we are the children of God and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole political world, the whole academic world,
yeah,
the whole military world.
Yeah.
And so Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus IV, was a forerunner. If you want to know what the tribulation is like, you can look at Pharaoh with Egypt. You can look at Antiochus Epiphanes between the Old and New Testaments. You can look at Hitler. There is a pattern in history. Haman, you know, in the days of Esther, a pattern in history of people trying to destroy the nation of Israel, which is God's channel of redemption, bringing the Messiah into the world.
It is amazing. It is amazing. And I it's so interesting, too, when you think about what do Muslims around the world think is going to happen? What do Jews around the world think is going to happen? They've got different versions of this. And so, you know, you can imagine that if something will enable the Jews to build a temple— on the Temple Mount, it will be utterly glorious. But we will know that in some ways, of course, it is glorious, but it is leading to the things that you write about in this book. I'm so excited to read the book, and I imagine anybody listening will be excited to read it. It's called The 50 Final Events in World History, and your website is robertjmorgan.com. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Robert Morgan about his book, The 50 Final Events in World History. Don't go away.
This is something we all need. We were born to love one another. We must be what we're going to be. And what we have to be is free. Love is understanding. We gotta be free.
Folks, welcome back. Talking to Robert J. Morgan about his book, The 50 Final Events in World History. So what's left?
Well, so chapter one is introduction. 2 and 3 are to the churches. 4 through 18 is the tribulation. And in chapter 19, Jesus returns. That is the chapter which vividly describes the return of Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, in which he delivers Israel, sets up his kingdom. And then the last two chapters of the Bible, Eric, are the most wonderful chapters of what heaven is going to be like. I mean, if you want to know where we're going to be living forever, it's the new earth, the new heavens, the new city of Jerusalem, and John is given a tour of it. It's like he creates a travel guide for us. And I read these chapters over and over again. I was married to my wife, Katrina, for 43 years, and she had multiple sclerosis for much of that time, and I was a caregiver. We were caregivers to each other, but finally, about a year and a half ago, she just declined, so, and I was at her bed, and we knew that she was dying. And there is a scene. It's real. I mean, this is real in chapter 22 of the throne of God in the middle of New Jerusalem and the river of life gushing out from under that throne and watering the new earth. And I said to Katrina, I whispered in her ear, I said, just go on to sleep. And when you wake up, I'll meet you there and we'll walk hand in hand along the Crystal River. And I made a date with her in heaven to walk along the Crystal River. And that is as real to me as sitting at this desk is here with you. And these two chapters tell us in vivid detail what our eternal life is going to be like in heaven. I wouldn't give anything in the world for them. And this is why I say all 65 books of the Bible lead to Revelation, and all 22 chapters of Revelation lead to heaven.
We all need to have this hope. We need to know how real this is. This is not somebody's version of the truth. This is truth itself. And to have that hope, when someone passes on to glory the way your wife did, to know that they're going into the Lord's presence, not to say, oh, I hope so, I don't know, to know it. It's the Lord's will that we know it. He loves us. He longs for us to know these things and to be at deep peace and joy. Yes. With expectation. That's the message of your book. It's the message of the scripture. But don't we all need to hear this more and more and more, that this is real? This is his joy that we could come to be with him.
The name of the book is Revelation. It is not obscurity or puzzlement or confusion. The first verse says, the Lord Jesus gave these things to show his servants what must soon take place. And so, to me, the book of Revelation, take it sequentially. It leads you right to heaven. It takes you through the last turbulent events in world history, but you end up, if you know Christ, in the most glorious, beautiful place, and it brings the Bible full circle and ends with that glorious hope.
It is an astonishing book, and of course, some people say the apocalypse, which is the opposite of Revelation. The apocalypse means the hidden, you know, the hidden things, but it's the hidden things revealed,
yes.
Revelation. And that is beautiful, because we don't serve a God, a Gnostic God, who has some secret knowledge. He wants everyone to know these things. Mm-hmm. And in no small part, thanks to you, Robert J. Morgan, and this book, we can all understand these things. I am so looking forward to it. It's called The 50 Final Events in World History. Robert J. Morgan, thank you for the book, and thanks for talking to us about the book.
My pleasure. Thank you, Eric.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.